Blog Talk Radio.
Nobody never really listens anyway, so, but no, I'm just kidding. It's really good, man. Y'all been good.
It's great. This week, the Lord talks to me all the time, but he's really been making himself a little bit louder this week, and I was actually just trying to get a good word from the Lord. He's been giving me words for other people, but not really for myself a whole lot. It's just basically being about other people. And, you know, for other people, that's great. You know, it's good to help folks out, but every once in a while you want one for yourself, if you know what I mean. So it's kind of awesome. And then, you know, the other day I just came home from work and I was very tired because I got done working 12 hours. And you know how it is when you get home, you just sit down and just want to relax. You don't want to hear nothing. You just want to sit down and relax. And I sit down on my couch and all of a sudden I got this big download from the Lord, you know, that little song says, "Let your light shine." This little light of mine, "Let your light shine." And I had this song in my head. I mean, it was just, I mean, I've not actually thought about this song in years. I mean, I might hear my kids sing it every once in a blue moon, but I ain't thought about this thing in a very long time. And it kind of hit me just like a rock. And it just kept on repeating in my head, you know, "This little light of mine, let it shine, let it shine." And to me, it was kind of indicating in the last year, my life has been kind of going because I've had some deaths in my family, and you know, family and all that gets together, and sometimes death, you know, a death in the family brings the worst out of some people at sometimes. And it just this does that with family members sometimes, and it can be difficult at times, but the Lord helps us through the grieving process and helps us out of that. But over this period of time, it's been kind of hard at times, you know, and I was just wanting the Lord just to touch in on that, and he did that, and it was kind of like the Lord was telling me, you know, "In these hard times, let me shine through you. Don't think down, but let my light shine through you." And one of the things that really hit my mind is Matthew 5:16, when it says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see the good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." So when you're actually shining the light of the Lord through you through hard times. Now, Chuck, you know how easy it is during good times to be happy and glorified and really reflect, you know, the Lord of people. It's very easy around that time, ain't it, Chuck?
Oh, well, man, when it's going good, when all the bills are paid and there's plenty of money in the bank and the job's going good and you're making money, you said it. That's when it's easy and things are good. And you were touching on it good there. True character will come out when all hell's coming against you. Because the funny thing you quoted in Matthew 5, Jesus had just spoke the Beatitudes. You know, blessed are those for this and that. But at the end of that, he said, "Blessed are you when men revile and persecute you for my name's sake." And so when he started talking about let your light shine right before that, I think in like verse 12, 13, something like that, he started talking about you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the earth. And he did that after he started talking about persecution in the hard times. And so it's kind of quickly referenced to that, you know, the true light of the gospel will be shined through hard times. Because to be honest, when things are going good, people aren't worried. They're not, I don't want to say they're not as open to the gospel, but it's, you know, when you're down and out and all hell's come against you, but yet you still have righteousness, peace, and joy, like Romans 14:17 says, and it's like nothing can stop you from the kingdom, then that's when people want what you have. And that's really when your light is shining.
Amen. Amen. And you know, when you're in those good times, it's easy. Even, you know, like you're talking about, even the sinners, you know, has a great time when everything's going good. And then, but if you throw a sinner into a situation where it's real bad, that's when it goes real bad for them and they normally react. But as children of God, we're supposed to react in the way that Jesus would, you know, with peace and loving people. I mean, he was even on the cross. He just got beat. He got slammed. He got crucified, bleeding, bones broke, and he was still loving the people. And after all of that, he got betrayed by his own people. But he still loved them. He still loved them. You put an everyday man up on that cross like that and go through everything he went through, they wouldn't. They would spit on them people and condemn those people, but he still loved them. no matter what hard times that we're going through, we got to look at our Savior and what he did and just think what he went through instead of our little pity things that we go through and we react, you know, very negative to. But look what he went through and how he responded and responded the same way as he did. But it's, you know, everybody wants the good times. And, you know, we can show our Christian selves during good times, but when it comes to bad times, that's when we say, you know, we're going to let, you know, let our redneck come out, or we're going to do this, we're going to do that. But it ain't letting Jesus come out. You need to let Jesus come out. And I saw in times of my trouble and things that, you know, when you're going through deaths in the family, that there's some things you have to deal with. But then, again, you've got to let, you know, let God shine through you and really bless people and show what God's love really is. And that's the main thing. I mean, a lot of people, you know, anytime when you're going through a test and God is really, really showing you what you're working on, what he's working on, a lot of times God is working on you. You don't have a clue that he is. You don't really have a clue. There's some people that goes through dreams and they'll have dreams and God will be trying to show them, hey, I'm working on this with you. I'm trying to develop you in this area. I'm trying to develop you in that area. And we're like clueless what's going on. But he's showing you and revealing things to you that you've had issues with, that you have problems with, that you had downfalls with, and all these things, there's things in you that need to be worked out, that he needs to work out where he can get you to the next level. Now, he's already paid for all your sins and all that stuff, but mentally and physically, there's things that you've had to work out where you can walk down the path he wants you to go. He wants you to be ready when he's going to put you up on that pedestal and have you really reveal the kingdom. But there's steps to that, to get to that pedestal, because he has to work all hell out of you. He has to work all hell out of you. And there's a lot of pastors and a lot of people, men of God, that never did get all the hell, I'll say, worked out of them. But they got stood up and then they fell straight on their faces because it wasn't really God that got them there. It was really money that got them there. And they just fell. But when God gets you to a place, you stay there. I mean, we know a lot of great things. Billy Graham, there's lots of them that's made it up there and stayed there because they was great men of God and they really followed God and God really guided them to where they were. It wasn't something that they did. It's what God did through them. A lot of times what God does through you, and I don't know whether there's somebody out here that's a minister or they're actually going through hard times in their lives, but I really feel that God is working through you and he's working on you, and as this time he's working on you, he wants you to be that diamond that he knows that you can be. He already sees that in you. You just can't see it yet, but he's still working on you. There's a lot of people that he does that, and then when he gets done and they get older and they're older in the faith, they're like, man, you know, I've been through so much stuff, but I'm so much stronger and things don't bother me no more. My life is so easier because I've worked this out. I've straightened this out. Man, you know, life is so great now because, you know, them struggles really got me to the place I went. And Chuck, have you ever saw that go in somebody's life like that before, man?
Oh, man, we don't have time for all that. Yeah, of course, man. And you started hitting on it. A lot of times when you talk about, like, those big famous preachers or whatever falling or whatever. Yeah, I'm firmly convinced that they started out on the right track, but then when the pressures start getting in, they get their eyes off of what God's trying to do and start becoming what I can do. And so, you know, and the Bible says pride comes before a great fall. And I think pride gets involved. I think they start off with the right intentions and just like locally here in South Carolina, we had a big name preacher just step down from his church and admitted to be dependent on alcohol and stuff like that. And just the pressures of it get to him, and it becomes more about what they're doing instead of what God's doing. Because I firmly believe you can be in a place where no matter what pressures are coming, God gives a way of escape. God gives an open door. And he's known as a comforter for a reason, because our life gets very uncomfortable. Just let one paycheck come along and it ain't right, or you miss a house payment, or life just gets in the way sometimes. And it's funny how you started talking about that, because really, even in my personal life, God has been asking me some tough questions, you know, like, is this about where you're going, or is this about me and you? You know, he really works on me staying focused on him, even to the point that if I'm not doing anything, I'm okay with that. Because sometimes we get, and I grew up in it, man, I grew up in it where you work. You know, you got to do something. You got to teach Sunday school, or cut the grass outside for the church, or weed the flower bed, or you just do something to feel like you're doing something for God. And he doesn't want that. He appreciates those things, I'm sure, and if you feel led to do those things, then do them. I'm not trying to say they're bad things. It's just it's the heart behind why we do what we do. Because even in, you know, letting your light so shine before men, some people can take that and run with it and just try to build this huge, big ministry, try to be the next Todd White. They sound like Todd White. They talk like Todd White. And they're trying to be these big street evangelism and get on TV. And they're doing it for the wrong reasons. And we have to keep our heart in check and make sure everything we're doing is about our relationship with God. Because you said it right. When God shines his light in you, he's going to find something he don't like, and he's going to start saying, okay, let's work on that. And then that's when the real relationship and the real gospel kicks in. Because if it's about you, you're going to have a rough time. But if it's about him, it may be tough, but you'll go, God, get it out of me. I want to be like you. I want to serve you. I want to love on you. And kind of where you were running with that was good, man. It's about keeping our focus on him and our relationship with him.
That's it. I mean, a lot of people think when they get in, you know, when God starts working on them, that, man, I got saved and I'm good to go now. And you know, all the blessings are going to pour on me, and I'm going to be riding around in Cadillacs and living in mansions, and everything's going to be perfect, and money is just going to pour over me like a shower every day now. But it's not like that. I mean, if you look in the book of Acts, starting of the church, what these guys went through, they was baptized with the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. They was building the kingdom, but nobody liked them at all. And God just kept on working on them. But that was the price that had to be paid to bring this ministry into this world, because this world is controlled by the enemy. God made it, but like I've taught the people, it's not controlled by God. It's the enemy has it at this time. But God is working in it and trying to bring light into this world. And that's where a lot of people get this thing mixed up. But, you know, God was trying to bring up, you know, the Christian faith in this world. And we went through a lot, but it's steadfast. And, it, you know, looking at it today, it's humongous. But God had to start somewhere. And everybody didn't become millionaires and walking around with the best everything. They really went through it. And God transformed these people. Even Paul. Paul was one of the hardest ones. He's the one that had to, he came from I say, as a Pharisee with everything. And then the Lord had to drag him through a lot of pain, a lot of trouble, a lot of situations. Even the apostles didn't even want him. They was all scared of him and kicked him out of Jerusalem and told him to go on his way, you know, told him what he could and said, go on your way. You know, you're going to be a traveling evangelist. That ain't exact words that they said, but basically you're going to be a traveling evangelist. We ain't going to see you much. So go on after they taught him a little bit, because they were scared to death of him. Then he had to start building on stuff himself, trusting in the Lord, really having the Holy Spirit to teach him. He was really on his own. And the Lord had to work a lot of stuff out of him, work a lot of stuff out of him. And he had strong points, too, that the Lord liked, because he would stand up to anyone. He didn't care. No matter who they were, he would stand up to them. He had no fear of that at all. So that was one of his strong points that the Lord used to help build this faith, you know, with him and develop him. So there's many things I really believe that we all have that God can use, but he has to get, I'll say, all the pepper out of us, all of ourselves out of us, and have more of the salt to shine through us instead of the pepper. And sometimes he'll pick us up and just shake all that pepper out. Just keep on shaking it until he starts seeing more salt come out. And a lot of times that takes a while. It takes a while. Because there's a lot of things that we've been conditioned in our lives. We could have had bad parents. We could have had bad friends. We could have been in bad situations that programmed us all in the wrong situation or in a wrong type of life that he has to rework on, to work on you, put you in these scenarios to let you know that a lot of things you're doing is wrong, that you, if you go down this way, that you're going to end in a ditch, and you go this way, the scenario will end up better. And there's many things that, you know, we've all fell into that the Lord will show us, hey, that ain't right. You need to go this way. Get the Word of God. It tells you to go this way. And a lot of times once we get that worked out, we become better people, and then God can do more with us. And that's a lot of things that people don't understand when you get in ministry and you're saying, hey, God, I'll do this, that he has a lot of work to do with you and a lot of work to do on you. And sometimes it takes a little while. It's not a one-minute thing. And there's a lot of people that I know that's bestowed a lot of power that God has given them, but they never allowed the Lord to work on them for them to be developed right. And they would go ahead and be thrown at the head of the church, and, oh, I do this, and all of a sudden the world comes in and starts slamming them, and they fall face down to the floor with alcoholism, all type of things, because they can't handle the stress. They can't handle the responsibility that takes to be in that position. That's why God has to condition you to be in that position where you can take the stress, take the drama, and you can go forward and build the kingdom from the Lord. So if you're not conditioned right, you can't handle it. But if you let God work on you and let the Holy Spirit transform you, then you can be right up there where he needs you. And a lot of people don't understand that. And through this time, I say this time of being worked on, you keep on showing the love of God. No matter what somebody throws you into, show it with love, show it with gratitude, and let God shine through you no matter what it is. And I saw a lot of pastors that would go through things, and, you know, God would just shine through them. They would show the love of God no matter what it is. And I was talking to a brother of mine at work, and I was telling him about what the Lord did to me, which, you know, with this song, with rotating and rotating. I said, you know, in hard times, you know, a lot of people will point at you, hey, you're a Christian, look what you said, look at there, you're supposed to be so holy, look at there, look at there. And people point at you when you mess up, but when you're doing good, they don't care, you know. They don't care about the good, they just want to know the bad. But the thing of it is that we all fall at times, and trust me, the enemy likes that. That's why the more we fall, we need to learn from that fall and correct that fall. And know next time we go to that same edge of that situation, you get ready to fall the next time the same way, you learn not to go that step and leave that step and just, you know, remember, let your light shine on that situation. And that's one of the things that I know there's people I saw in my life that keeps on falling down the same steps over and over and over and over. But the thing of it is, they never step up and try to reflect their light, the love that's in them, on that situation to correct that situation for when God puts them, the Holy Spirit puts them there again, that they can, you know, bypass all of that and just, you know, go on with their lives. And that's just some things that happens with us, you know. But at this time, we're going to go right into a song. And it's one of Chuck's. It's called I Will Sing. We'll be right back.
God has done. I will free to let this awesome praise live out. I'm gonna bow, I'm gonna yield, and let the Spirit run free inside these hollow walls of clay.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the show. This is Reverend Stan, Chuck McDonald, and we was talking about how to let your light shine in your life, how, you know, during bad situations in your life, that it really shows who you truly are at times. I mean, no matter how people shuffle you and move you back and forth, that, you know, the Lord really shines through that. Now, Chuck, is there any time in your life that, you know, it really showed who you are during your life like that?
Wow, which one to pick from? Well, no, like, I'm self-employed, and so I'm in the marketplace all the time. And even though, like, there were thoughts at one time of, like, being full-time ministry or whatever, I realized I was in full-time ministry. So I've never wanted to quit my job to go into quote unquote ministry, and a lot of people that I work, I don't know how to explain this. I don't necessarily work in one spot. Like, I don't go to an office every day. I work out of my truck. I repair cars mobily, you know, car interiors and stuff like that. So I go to car dealerships a good bit, and I'm around a good bit of people, and servicing car dealers once a week, you get to know people. And so, you know, they get to know you, and we've seen some miracles and stuff like that happen in us. And there's a lot of times that just life kicks in, man. Like, there's one time my wife got real, real sick and was ended up having what they called, I think it's TCIs or something. Then she was having, like, mini strokes, and it was from a sugar diabetes issue. She ended up in the hospital for a few days, and here I am going to work every day and seeing people healed on the job. And I think even during that time, there was one guy, a car salesman in a car dealership, his foot got healed. And the next week, he comes up to me crying in tears, saying, man, you know, I've seen a lot of stuff in life and even wondered about different faiths and stuff like that. But the fact that you prayed for me last week and gave me Jesus reaffirmed my faith in Jesus. So in all that, if I would have got so focused on the fact that, you know, here I am, talking about healings and miracles and the power of God moving, and my wife's in the hospital, if I would have focused on that and gotten down and let that twist my thinking and get so caught up, in what hell was doing and not paying attention to what God was doing. So just little things like that. I like to, when you talk about letting your light shine, I heard this story a little while back, just a cool illustration to try to explain it, how the sun produces light. And in John 1, and I'm talking about the natural sun, the S-U-N, not the S-O-N, I'll draw those two together, but the natural sun produces light. And in John 1, John calls Jesus the light, John the Apostle. So if you look at the sun, the moon reflects the sun on the dark part of the earth. That's what it's designed to do. So if we take that into a spiritual context where Jesus is the sun and we're the image of the sun, we're supposed to shine light in the darkness of the world. And if you're going to be in the dark part of the world, you're going to have to realize that things around you are dark and things are going to be happening. You know, Jesus never promised us that it was going to be daisies and cool music playing and little birds chirping and butterflies flying by. We live this like utopia or euphoric state with him. We're humans and we live in a human state. We live in a fallen world and he tries to live in us. We have to let him do it. He doesn't do it against our will or we'd all be saved right now. I mean, you know, so there's just plenty of times like that where just life gets in the way, man. Just things happen. My mom gets sick, put in the hospital. Or my brother gets put in the hospital one time, and my wife ended up in the hospital. And I even got sick one time this year and felt like a Mack truck ran over me, and I laid on my couch for a few days. And but even in that, people still see the light shining. And I want to draw this one little part out of Matthew 5. It says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father." We've got to do what we do for God's glory, not for our works to be seen. Because I get around a lot of people who want to be seen for what they're doing, and that's not what it's about. It's about glorifying God, and our lives should glorify God. Now, if I get sick or if I get hurt or bad things happen or if the money quits coming in or whatever, man, just when bad things happen, God is still good. God is still God. There's a thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and he's trying to take everything from us to get our focus off of God, and that's where we have to let our light shine. And so just the fact that, you know, I've got people on car dealers that just come up to me and want to counsel with me. Hey, man, look, you're a good guy, and I know you love Jesus, and I'm going through so-and-so. What would you do? And so in that moment, you can't be saying, well, man, my world's just as bad as your world. When I figure it out, I'll come back and talk to you. You can't do these things. You gotta be the light, and you got to shine for Jesus in those moments.
That's it. That's it. I mean, when you're in your tough times, a lot of times, I mean, I've known people would go out and pray for people when they're the sickest, and they would see more miracles happen during that time. Because at that time, you're not concentrating on yourself anymore. It feels like a sickness makes you, concentrate on yourself. It's more on self at that time. And when you walk out and you take your focus off yourself and off the situation, God just blows right through, and he can really use you in many different things. And it shows you that, you know, God is still there no matter what. And that's the main thing is, you know, show your light during different situations, because there's always light at the end of the tunnel. No matter what you're going through, you know, the enemy is trying to stop you from reflecting God. He knows if he can get you, I mean, Job is a big one. You know, Job showed his light to everybody. He loved God with all his might and always showed the glory of God to people. Then when the enemy, you know, said, well, you know, if I mess with Job, man, he's not going to like you. He's going to hate you. He's going to spit on you. And God's like, not Job. Job won't do that. God, you know, Job will still love me no matter what. And Job would show the light of God to everybody. He loved everybody. He was really, you know, really tight with God. And he had a great relationship. And God blessed him multiple times, had blessings everywhere, cattle, family, you know, everything going great. And all of a sudden, the enemy came in and just destroyed everything. And when the enemy came and destroyed everything, Job still praised God. he praised God all through the situation. His wife came to him and said, "Hey, Job, God don't like you no more. Why don't you just give up and just kill yourself? Because God don't like you no more." And Job's like, "No, I still love God. I'm praising him. I'm praising him." And, I mean, it got so bad at one time that people came from far off land to talk to Job and tell him just to give up and leave. And some guys even thought that they could pray with Job because there's something Job could have did wrong that kind of messed up, you know, Job's relationship with God, and they thought they would help him pray. But all of a sudden, it just got worse and worse and worse, and kids died. I mean, it was just multiple things. And the enemy just kept on kicking him and kicking him and kicking him and kicking him. And after a while, God was like, "That's enough." And Job stayed strong all through that situation. I mean, he had infections all over him. He had boils all over him. His cattle was dead. A lot of his family destroyed. His marriage was destroyed. Everything the enemy took. He took everything trying to bring Job to his knees to hate God. And Job refused to do it. Job refused to hate God. He loved God with all his might. He still did at the very time that he about lost his life, and God gave him back everything and tripled everything. So that's what we're trying to say. Let your light shine kind of like Job, and never, ever give everything up to the enemy, because he don't want you to have everything that God has for you. He don't want you to know your sonship. He don't want you to know anything that God really has for you, because he wants to destroy you. He wants you to be mad at God like he has been for ever since earth has started. He's never like the Father. He's jealous of the Father, and he wants you so mad that you'll be mad just like he is, and he wants to take you down with him. So Jesus has came down here and pulled us away from the enemy and made us a straight way to the Father. And long as we accept him, we can go straight to the Father and love him and be blessed by him and enjoy the things he has for us. But there's some trials that comes to us that the enemy gives us to see, do we really like the Father as much as we act like that? And that's when we go through these trials. And every time we go through these trials and we just, you know, pull our fists at the enemy and say, "I told you so. I love God anyway." He don't like that. So that's one of the biggest things while we go through this. You know, he's picking us to see what he can mess with us on, but if we keep on flying right through it, he can't really mess with us as much anymore as he used to. And I really see a lot of new Christians going through this too. As soon as they become saved, everything goes good for a while, and all of a sudden the enemy comes in and tries to test them and try to, you know, see their weak spots. And then they're like, "Oh, man, everything's going bad and all this and that." That's just the enemy testing them to see where they are on their faith, where he can try to pick it apart. But as long as you stand firm and show your light of Christ no matter what, you know, you're going to walk through that, and God's going to bless you for what you went through. So don't give up. Always show the light of Christ through every situation, no matter what it is. And if you got, you know, bad situations at work, still love people, do the best you can, and do what you can through it. What do you think about that, Chuck?
You're dead on, brother. One thing I was thinking about earlier, and it slipped my mind, but I think it all comes down to your perspective. When things get tough, when things start going on, it tries to distract you and get your eyes off God. You have to have the right perspective in what's going on. In Isaiah, one thing I pray every day is I thank God that he's a good father, and I thank him for his mercy, his grace, and his discipline. Because, you know, God, Paul wrote that, you know, God disciplines those whom he loves. And if God doesn't discipline you, then you're basically just an orphan. And in Isaiah, it says that godly discipline brings life and health. And I thank him every day for life and health because, you know, when David got in trouble for numbering the children of Israel, he was given three options. And he looked at Nathan the prophet and said, "Let me fall into the hands of God instead of the hands of men, because God is a merciful God." And so you got to understand when things are going on, if God's testing or if God's checking you out, you know, letting you see how real things are in the world and seeing how you're going to react to those things because he's wanting to build on you or he's wanting to get something out of you, his discipline is designed to bring life and health. And Jesus said he came to bring life and life more abundant. So to get to that life, we've got to go through discipline. It's not, I know in our society they teach you don't discipline your children. Look, I know a bunch of children who have not been disciplined, and it makes me want to discipline them. I mean, discipline from God is good. He's not doing it to destroy you. He's not doing it because he hates you. Just like when I disciplined my children growing up, I saw something they didn't see. You know, when you're getting in trouble in school, I'm realizing you're ruining your life, and I try to bring discipline in that situation so that the rest of your life, so that you can grow up, be a man, pay your own bills, have your own house, take care of your own wife and kids, just in life principles, not even nothing to do spiritually, just to grow up and be successful in life. And that's what God does with us. He wants us to be successful. And in order for us to be successful and him to do things with us, we have to prove ourselves. To whom much is given, much is required. So there is proven seasons, but it's a good thing. You have to look at it from the right perspective. It's a good thing. God's not trying to kill me. He's trying to kill something in me to make me more like him so that his light shines more in me and he gets glory. So discipline is not a cuss word. It's not a bad thing. God brings discipline, and he does it for specific reasons at specific times.
That's correct. And it's really important for us to go through those trials. I mean, we all love the rainbows and fairy tales and all the blessings he has and, you know, all that good stuff. But, you know, we need to become more like Christ. And, you know, if we keep on getting babied, we can't ever become more like Christ. So, you know, that's when he comes and tries to transform us and keeps molding us into more like his son. And the more we look like his son, the more things will get a little easier because we'll be just a little bit nicer than we was before. And sometimes with some people, it's a little bit more to go. There's some people, I mean, everybody's in different categories. I mean, everybody was conditioned differently in their life. Some people had a little bit better situation in their life, and some people didn't. And it's longer for some people and shorter for others. And no matter where you are in the Lord, that God is working on you to make you a better person. And he's showing more glory through you and for you to shine more glory to others. And, you know, at the end of the day, we're all going to be in heaven, and God's going to, you know, give us that crown. And he's, you know, he's going to really, you know, thank you, you know, good and faithful servant for what you've done. And, you know, that's what we're all waiting for the Lord to say to us on that day. But it's, you know, it's a ride. I mean, we're always going to be going through these things. And I guess I really feel the older you are in Christ, the more you understand and you get used to it, and it don't bother you as bad, and you get more humble during these situations. And that's what I really feel. I really feel that there's some people that go through things because they need to be humble. And more humble you are, the easier it is to go through things, and the easier it is to get away from things, to not go through things. So, you know, it's just a process that we all go through, folks. And I just want to tell everybody, you know, you ain't on your own. The Lord's right beside of you, and he's guiding you, and he's transforming you and making a new you. I mean, you was reborn when you was, you know, when you was saved and you was baptized. He redid you inside, but he's redoing you on the outside and redoing your mind where you can understand what happened on the inside. See, if he never renews your mind, you will never know what he did on the inside. You'll still be living like you did before, but as he transformed you here on this earth, your mind's being transformed, and you're becoming a new person, and that's what he wants. He wants you to be more like his son, because he sees you as his son, but you've not made it like his son yet. He keeps on trying to make you in more of the image of Jesus, and that takes a process at times, but, you know, just hold on. And God's got great and wonderful things for y'all. And at this time, I'm going to go ahead and start praying for some people. And we're going to lift up Chuck's wife at this time. And in Jesus' name, we lift up Cherie. And we command anything that an enemy has on her, I command it to leave now. I curse the spirit of infection. I curse it at the root and at the seed in Jesus' name. I command it to die within her body. I command the spirit of infirmity to leave. We bind and rebuke the spirit of infirmity. We command it to leave in Jesus' name and go to the pit and never return in Jesus' name. We command life upon her mind. We command life upon her body in Jesus' name. We ask you to bless her and Chuck. Bring abundance into their household. Bring abundance into their relationship. Bring abundance into their life. We ask this now in Jesus' mighty name. And we also, I feel that there's some people out there that's needing to quit smoking. I'm getting that. And in Jesus' name, I command that spirit of addiction to leave now. I command the spirit of addiction to leave their body, to leave their mind in Jesus' name. I command peace upon their body now in Jesus' name. You picking up anything, Chuck?
I saw a picture of somebody's left eye. Like there's some issues going on with the left eye. I don't know if it's complete blindness or I'm going to pray for it two ways. One, that anybody out there that your left eye, you're having, if it's 0%, anything under 100% vision issues, that be healed now in the name of Jesus. But I also pray spiritually for anybody listening that your vision spiritually would be sharpened, that you would lose this bad focus and start really honing in and focusing on what the Spirit's doing. And I may be talking to a seer out there, somebody who lives in that realm where they actually go into a dimension where they can see things. So I just, whatever the enemy's trying to do to hinder that and stop that, I curse it, I cancel it in the name of Jesus. I give you freedom and permission as a father in the faith to go into those realms and see what the Spirit's doing, visions and dreams, and just manifest glory things going on in different realms in Jesus' name.
That's awesome, Chuck. In Jesus' name, I command, I feel somebody's having a headache. I command the spirit of pain and the spirit of anxiety and spirit of depression. I bind them all in Jesus' name, and I rebuke them, and I command them to leave their minds, leave the rooms of their minds, and I command this pain to leave off their head now in Jesus' name. I command freedom of that headache now in Jesus' mighty name. Command a complete freedom now in Jesus' name. Stress leave. Anxiety leave now and never return. Anxiety leave now and never return in Jesus' name. Complete freedom. When Christ frees you, you're free indeed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to thank everybody for listening to us tonight. It's been awesome. And there's one thing I do want to, really talk about. We've got a conference coming in September. It's called the Healing Waters of Christ Conference. It's actually coming to Maiden, North Carolina, where I live. It's going to be at the Recreation Center. It's actually going to be September the 24th. We're going to have Dave and Patty Loggy there. They're going to be teaching healing. They're going to be showing you how to move in healing. If you always want to know how Jesus did it, if you want to know how to work in healing, this would be a great, great conference. This is what we're going to focus on from 10 a.m. until I'll say about 1 p.m. We're going to be working on training in healing. We're going to be working on teaching healing. We're going to really get into the depths of learning to pray for people, what it talks about in the Word of God about that, some of the do's and don'ts, all the different things. It's going to be me, Dave, and Patty is going to be teaching that in the morning at 10 a.m. And then at 7 p.m., we're going to have a healing service. I'm going to be hosting, Reverend Stan, me, I'm going to be hosting, and Evangelist Heath Adams and Dave and Patty is going to be help teaching and going to be preaching during this service. And yours truly, Chuck McDonald, is going to be playing the worship. So we're going to have a great night that night. But don't forget about this. Put this on your calendar. It's going to be September 24th at the Maiden Wreck. For any information, go to the Healing Light Ministries page and look up the information there. It should be on the page. Or just go on Facebook and punch in Healing Waters of Christ Conference, and it should come right up. Just come and let us know that you're coming. All the information is right there. We hope to see you September 24th. It's going to be a great time in the Lord. Don't miss it. What do you think about all that, Chuck? Are you excited?
Oh, yeah, man. Sounds like it's going to be fun. If people are getting healed, delivered, and set free, I'm in. Let's do it.
Yeah, it's going to be great, man. I mean, we all enjoy hearing you play worship, hearing you preach and teach. It's all going to be great, man. So, you know, we're all going to be there and coming together and getting some people healed and delivered and set free. That's what it's all about. And teach you to do it. We're going to teach you how to do that. We want you a walking example of Christ. We want you to walk just like Christ. We don't want you to be watching people to walk like Christ. We want you to walk like Christ. So come and experience this and listen to the teaching. And it's all free. There's no charge. We will be, you know, taking up offering to help pay for the rent and, you know, all that. You know, you got to take care of the place and all that. So we are going to be taking an offering for that. But rather than that, it's going to be all free. You know, everything that God puts in us is already there. We're just going to have somebody to teach us how to bring it out, teach us how to bring that out. Because a lot of times, you know, some of our religious, you know, teachings that we've had through our childhood, that it kind of tells us not to use it. There's nothing there. You know, the disciples stopped healing people 2,000 years ago. After that, after they died, it was gone. But it does say that, you know, in Acts that, you know, Jesus poured the Holy Spirit amongst the earth. So if he did that over the earth, it doesn't say, well, then the next day he sucked it back in. It doesn't say that. It's still here. And it's able for us to use as believers. And we just really want to touch in on that and teach you to walk in this and just be amazed of how far you can go with this and get people healed and build the kingdom. And that's what it's about. It's going to be a great day in the Lord. But we'll see y'all again pretty soon. We're going to have another show. We're going to be bringing some more people on here. And plus, we're going to have Dave and Patty Loggie on here talking about the event and about their ministry. It's going to be very awesome. And pretty soon, we're going to have more shows on YouTube that we're getting ready to tape. We're very excited about that. But God bless you all, and we'll see you soon. Thank you, Chuck, for coming on.
Thanks for having me, man. It was fun.
God bless you all. We'll see you next time.
ground with the sound of revival. Let heaven roar and fire fall. Come shake the ground with the sound of revival.
Thank you. when I hit the